Welcome to episode 12 of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Smith. Today, I will be talking with Alistair, an amazing coach from my team, all about why "can you repeat that please" is not an ideal expression to use in meetings, 7 alternatives that work much, much better, the importance of the verb to clarify, why reformulation is so important, and finally, a little bit of listener feedback. This podcast is aimed at helping you push your business communication skills to the next level so that you can grow professionally and achieve your international career goals. So without further ado, let's get straight into it. Enjoy! Hi everyone. Today what we're going to be talking about is the whole idea of meetings, and in particular the idea of trying to understand as much as you can in meetings. Now, from time to time, what happens is that you might be trying to listen to someone, but you don't quite catch or you don't quite understand exactly what they're saying. And there, at these moments, it's important to try to clarify exactly what the person is trying to express to you. And so what we're going to do today is kind of think about different types of expressions that you can potentially use. So as usual, Alistair is here with me. Hi, Alistair.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
I'm fine, fine. How are you?
Yeah, great. Thanks.
Great. Yeah, so essentially what happens in many cases is that people sort of revert to this expression, "can you repeat that please," right? That is often the standard expression. And if we say that too often, then it can seem somewhat repetitive, right? And so that's why it's good to have some alternatives.
Yeah, you need to expand your vocabulary, have a few more expressions, not to keep repeating, "can you repeat that?" Exactly. And I think native speakers, we were talking about this before we started recording, probably native speakers don't really say, "can you repeat that?" Although if you say it, it's perfectly okay. It's not rude, but it doesn't sound that natural, perhaps. So there's some other phrases I think a native speaker would be more inclined to use, I think, or just not to, for repetition, to keep using the same phrase.
That's right. Absolutely. I think if I was in that situation of trying to gain more understanding in a meeting, I don't think I would actually use that expression. "Can you repeat that, please?" It doesn't come very naturally. It might come, there might be some sort of Spanish influence there in terms of the Spanish language influencing, no? Because repetir is kind of like something that is a verb that's used quite often in Spanish. So I don't know whether maybe that is the reason why lots of Spanish speakers sort of are attracted to that "repeat please." I'm not sure, but
could be. But it's a more obvious or easier thing, and the verb is very repeat, repetir. So
yeah,
it's probably easier to remember and to say for a Spanish speaker or non-native speaker. And just to clarify that you said about to catch something in a meeting. Obviously, catch, people will understand the obvious meaning of catch, as in to catch a ball. Somebody throws something to you like a ball and you catch it. So it's atrapar.
Yeah.
And also coger in the sense of to catch, or to catch a taxi, catch a train, catch a plane.
That's right.
But in this case, obviously, is to catch in the sense of understand or hear what somebody says to you, no?
That's right. Yes.
And we will be different meaning of the verb to catch.
Yes, absolutely. And we will be covering that as we move forward with these different expressions that we have sort of planned, right? But yeah, that is an expression I used right at the beginning. And it's true that there can be some confusion with that sometimes. So move forward and try to give some examples, right? So that the people can really try to extend their vocabulary as much as they can. Of course, like, this should be in a way an objective in all different areas in terms of your sort of language learning process, because the more alternatives you have, the more comfortable you'll feel, and you also just generally sounds much better, right, when you're not repeating yourself continuously.
Exactly. So, and it gives an impression of your level of English is obviously higher, and you sound better
if
you can use a variety of vocabulary, no? yeah. and different expressions.
Yeah. So let's start with option one, or the first alternative, let's say, to that common, can you repeat that, please? And we came up with something related to the exact verb that we were talking about just now, which is to catch, right? I didn't mm-hmm. quite catch that, right? I didn't quite catch that. That's exactly yeah. what we thought would be the first alternative, right?
Yeah, and that's a very used phrase. People use a lot. No, sorry, I didn't. And you could say, put sorry. In many of these expressions we're going to explain, you can put sorry at the beginning or the end to add extra, I don't know, politeness, if you like.
Yeah.
So sorry, I didn't catch that, or I didn't quite catch that. Yeah. So I didn't quite understand or hear what you said. Can you?
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Repeat. I mean, that's a nice one. And exactly as you said, yeah, you can definitely use the sorry at the beginning, at the end in many cases. In this one, you can actually, if you don't like to use the word catch or the verb to catch, let's say, because it's maybe not within your comfort zone, you can also use get. All right. I didn't quite get that. Right. And certainly that's perfectly possible as well. So, yeah.
Yeah, I didn't that's a nice get one that. To... Didn't quite get that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. Good. All right. Second alternative, Alistair?
Well, another one would be, sorry, what did you say?
Yes.
Again, with the sorry right. at the beginning. Or what did you say, sorry?
Yeah. What did you say, sorry? Exactly. Yeah,
it's a bit more short and obvious, but it's perfectly acceptable. Instead of repeat, say, what did you say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, perfectly fine. I think I would use that one definitely without thinking. I think, what did you say? And definitely, again, also, you know, sorry at the beginning, at the end. That's yeah. Generally, because you're kind of like expressing the idea that you haven't quite understood, is always the sorry is a good approach in terms of making it clear that you kind of are, you know, you don't want to stop them continuously, obviously, but you feel as if you have to stop them because you didn't quite.
Yeah, you're sort of interrupting or stopping them. So, excuse me, but I think, we tend to say sorry more than excuse me. No?
Yeah. The third one would be, sorry, what was that? Sorry, what was that? Mm-hmm.
Again, short, to the point.
Yeah, to the point. Obviously, also in terms of intonation, it's important that you kind of go up towards the end in terms of the question, sorry, what was that? And so kind of make it clear that it's a question. That's also very important. Yeah, I think, again, it's kind of a useful alternative. Similar to the others, not very different, but just a useful alternative, no question about that. Yeah.
Yeah, and another one is, well, basically the phrase, could you repeat that? But instead of using the word repeat, could you say that again, please?
Instead
of, could you repeat that again, or repeat again? We don't tend to use that word repeat for some reason, so it sounds more natural to say, could you say that again, please? And obviously the please at the end helps to make it sound more polite. No, could you say that again, please?
Exactly.
Are you even more polite? Sorry, could you say that again, please? So you've got the sorry and the please.
This is probably another
very
topic
British,
for another.
You know, British people, we tend to be very, very, sometimes too polite or excessively polite in our language.
Yeah. Sorry, please is a very common, is used very commonly. And if you can get used to using those, especially when you're speaking with, let's say, I think people in the UK, then definitely use those words without a doubt. And there's not a situation where you're using
really
them too much.
You can't really overuse them in
British, that's right.
In Britain.
That's right, yeah.
English people, no. So. Yeah. Sorry. Well, British people, we have a reputation for saying sorry all the time about everything for no reason. And often somebody bumps into you and stands on your foot in the lift and you say, oh, sorry. So they should say sorry to you because you haven't done anything wrong, but you say sorry to them.
Yeah.
And it's just like an automatic response we have. It's like automatically, oh, sorry.
It's true. And talking about that, number five is, sorry, I missed that. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sorry, I missed that. Mm-hmm. Again, using that word, sorry, and perfect, also perfectly good alternative to.
Yeah, I missed that. I didn't hear what you said.
Yeah, exactly. Number six is, I'm not sure I understood what you mean by. Oh no, sorry, it'll be, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by. Yes. I'm not sure I understand what you mean by.
Or if you want
by.
To put it in the past. Is that, I'm not sure I understood what you meant by that, but
that's right.
It doesn't really matter if you put it in past or present. No,
past
I'm not
or present.
Sure. Yeah, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by, and then the word or the expression you didn't understand.
Exactly. Yeah.
So it might be, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a word somebody would use in business sense. No.
Yeah.
Turnover.
Yeah,
for just example. To use a word that somebody talks about the turno, which is facturación in Spanish.
Yeah.
And you may not know the word turnover. You say, sorry, I'm not sure I understand what you mean by turnover.
Exactly.
What is that exactly?
Yeah. Yeah, perfect. Yeah. And the last one that we could think of was, could you clarify that? Mm-hmm. Could you clarify that? Often you would actually start that one with a sentence before where you would say, I kind of understood the whole idea of the, I don't know, the tax situation in the UK, but could you clarify, or something like that? Could you clarify exactly what you meant by that type? So clarify in that particular sense is very useful. It's kind of like to clarify is a verb. Is a very nice one to use, certainly for if you can get into your sort of vocabulary, then that's is useful without a doubt.
So in that case, you have heard what the person said and you probably understood what the person said, but you need clarification. So you need more details or more information, because you say, well, I understand, but not completely. Okay, I need more details.
Yeah.
So could you clarify exactly what you mean by that?
Yeah.
So it's like, I have an idea. I think I know what you mean, but I need you to clarify just in case, because maybe I've misunderstood.
Yes, exactly. And that is kind of also gives a slightly different impression, because it kind of means that you're not in a situation where you haven't understood anything. No. It's just that you just need a few more details. And often the person will then give you all the details again anyway, which is that's quite nice. So you're kind of like really a good strategy to use, because you're not kind of saying to the person, I really haven't understood anything at all there, you know?
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. Sounds more professional though. Yes, I understood what you said, but I just need, can you give me a few more details? No?
Yeah.
Just to clarify exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
So maybe you haven't understood, but it's a good way of covering that you didn't understand.
That's absolutely right.
Because they're going to repeat, probably maybe try to say it in a different way or using different words that might help you.
Yeah.
To understand what they said. No?
Yeah. So it's a good strategy. So there you are. There are seven different alternatives to can you repeat that, please? But we also wanted to cover a slightly different strategy to that as well, which is the idea of reformulation. Now, reformulation is a really powerful technique. It doesn't matter whether you're using reformulation in your mother tongue or in your first foreign language. It doesn't really matter, but it is a powerful technique in any sort of situation. But imagine that you want to check understanding, right? You kind of a little bit like the last one that we were talking about, which is number seven, where you want to clarify. Well, another really powerful approach is to reformulate what the person has actually said. So you have to kind of be listening very carefully. You have to have taken in all that information. And then you can use something, if I understood correctly. So that's the type of expression you have to use. If I understood correctly, what you're trying to say is, or what you are saying is, et cetera, right?
So you continue. Or what you mean is.
Yeah, or what you mean is. Yeah, exactly. So there are different alternatives there, but then you would go on to essentially reformulate what the person has just said in your own words, right? And so in that particular situation, they would be listening back to you, and they could obviously correct you if they feel that you haven't quite got the real meaning of what they're trying to say, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So they if they think you misunderstood, they can say it again in a different way and say, "Ah, okay, I did understand." No?
Yeah.
So you're looking. Yes, you're trying to get clarification, and so you rephrase the question back to them. Now, you could also say, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah.
I think what you meant or what you were trying to say is.
Yeah.
And then reformulate it back to them, and they'll say, no, actually, that's not what I meant. Mm. Or yes, exactly, that's what I meant. Yes.
Yeah. So
they'll confirm that you have understood or you haven't.
That's right. So it's very powerful. And it's also very nice for the person you're speaking to, because you kind of actually are demonstrating that you are listening to them or have listened to them.
You're paying attention.
Yeah, you're paying attention. It's kind of like normally will make that person really feel, you know, good, because you kind of like they notice that you've really understood what they were trying to say, or that there's a slight mistake, and then they will correct you. So that's fine. Absolutely no problem.
Or that to check that you haven't got the wrong end of the stick.
Yes, and this
to
is
introduce an expression.
Yes, absolutely.
We thought of before we started recording.
Yeah, this expression to get the wrong end of a stick is quite. I think it's quite common, isn't it? It's something that
we
use.
Common.
You know, there are some expressions in English which, for example, is raining cats and dogs is a very sort of the type of expression that you get in English books all the time, right? But then actually, when you get to the situation of a real situation in the UK. Nobody uses that particular expression, sort of, is raining cats and dogs, right? But there are expressions that, you know, native speakers use a lot. And that one, I think, is actually
definitely
commonly
one.
Used. Yeah.
Yeah. So I suppose the image in your, if you think of it, the metaphor is you've got a stick and there's the right end of the stick, the correct end, and the wrong end of the stick, which is the wrong end, the incorrect. So if you've got the wrong end of the stick, you've misunderstood. Because you've got the end of the stick that is incorrect.
Exactly.
If you want to think of it that way, no. So we never say I got the right end of the stick. That doesn't exist. You've just understood there isn't a problem.
That's right.
But if you misunderstood what someone tells you, you've got the wrong end of the stick, and it's a common expression.
Yeah.
But if you don't know it, and somebody says, "I think you've got the wrong end of the stick," you're thinking, "The wrong end of the stick? What stick?"
Exactly, absolutely. And just before we started recording, we also started talking about the fact that stick is also something that can be quite confusing. Obviously, stick is palo in Spanish, but there's often quite a little bit of different context where that can be. There can be some sort of confusion between stick and steak. Okay, so often when I go with Spanish speakers to a restaurant, they might say, "Oh yes, I would like a stick," which is obviously a palo, right? But it happens quite frequently. I mean, it's not something that I don't hear very often. I have heard that quite a lot. So
many times, yes.
Yeah,
it's a problem of pronunciation because it's such. Well, this is in many words in English.
Yes, absolutely.
Very small difference in sound. You change the word completely, so it's very easy to you think you're saying one word, but in fact you're saying another. Another one, and people possibly can misunderstand you very, get the wrong end of the stick.
Yeah, the wrong end of the stick. That's right.
Yeah, because stick. So it's the sound e, stick, and then a, steak.
Yeah.
So in a restaurant, you would ask for a steak, not a stick. So very similar, but to a native speaker, completely different word.
That's right.
Absolutely. So you have to be careful with these pronunciation of many words in English.
That's right.
That's one example.
Yeah, so there you go. That's another important expression there.
Because to get the wrong end of the steak doesn't exist. So nobody will understand. Yeah, the wrong end of the steak. I didn't know there was a right and a wrong end to eating a steak.
That's right, exactly. So for understanding and everything else, to get the wrong end of the stick, okay? But when you go to a restaurant, you have to ask for a steak. Okay, so it's like, it might seem...
You don't want to eat a stick. That would not be very pleasant.
Exactly. So yeah, very important. Good. Yeah, so I hope that helps in terms of giving a variety of alternatives to that particular expression. Can you repeat that, please? And what we wanted to do just towards the end of this episode is to kind of give a little bit of listener feedback, right, as well, Alistair. And what happened recently was that there was one question related to the phrase that I use at the beginning of the episode, which is without further ado, right?
Somebody said they understood up to the end. So they said, without further what? They said, what does Daniel say at the end? They couldn't catch the last word in that expression, no, which is an expression, which means what does that mean when you say without further ado?
Yeah, it's kind of without any further delay, right? It's kind of let's get into it straight away, right?
Yeah, let's begin. Let's not waste more time talking about the introduction.
Yes.
So without further ado. Yeah, it's a slightly spray because ado, I don't think we use it in any other
way that I can think of. Not that
only
I can
in
think
that expression
of.
Without further ado, let's begin. Let's start.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Spanish, I'm not sure exactly what you would say, but
we'd have to look that one up.
We'd have to look it up. I suppose, people, the listeners will know probably. Well, tell us. Send us
tell
an
us, yeah, absolutely. They
what
should
what would be the Spanish equivalent for without further ado.
Yeah. Is one of those expressions that is kind of really related to kind of a show or some sort of, some sort of experience, right? Or something that was gonna happen and you don't kind of want to delay any further. So, but it would often be used, the host would use that particular expression.
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody
sort of sin más retraso or something, but I don't know exactly what the phrase would be in Spanish. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's typical in TV presenters, no? Or they start introducing and then they want to get on with the show.
Yeah.
They say, okay, without further ado, let's have our first guest, Mr. Whoever they're going to interview. You know? So it's like, I've said enough in the introduction and now we need to get going to begin the actual content of the show. No?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Great. Okay, perfect. So I think that that's it for this particular episode. Let's just do a quick summary of what we were talking about today. So yeah, essentially the whole idea of trying to avoid, if you can, that particular expression in meetings where you say, can you repeat that, please? Obviously, you want to check understanding. You want to make sure that you are really full grasp, let's say, of what the person you're speaking to, what they're exactly trying to say, right? But at the same time, you don't want to use that expression again and again and again. So today what we were doing was essentially coming up with seven alternatives to that particular to that particular
expression,
which
I think are very useful and very typical, very common expressions people use.
Yeah. And if you can, try to put them into use, because that's the only real way that you'll get it sort of as natural as possible, because you know, otherwise it's, you will always probably go to the safest one, which is, can you repeat that, please? But if you can start to use them one by one, then
not all of them, but maybe one or two you feel, maybe the shorter ones you feel confident with, try to start using them in meetings and business situations. And then by using them, repeating them, you'll get used to them and find them easy. They'll come naturally to you with time.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely correct. And as you say, the best strategy is to choose maybe your favorite, maybe your one or two favorites, right? And start to use those. You can extend it later on.
Little by little.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, don't try to go for all seven of them at the first. No. You know, that would be too much. But
definitely.
You know, because they have to be quickly accessible, because they have to come to you naturally without a doubt, right?
Yeah, quickly in that moment.
Yeah.
You've got to be able to recall them and use them, you know, quite spontaneously and quickly.
Absolutely.
So you don't try to use too many or too complicated.
Yeah.
So choose one or two, one you like or you find easy to remember, and try to start introducing it into your language, in your vocabulary.
Absolutely.
So always good to expand your vocabulary and try to use new words and phrases. And the more you use them, the more likely you are to remember them, and they'll start coming to your mind quickly in the moment that you need them.
Exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is the strategy you want to use.
As we spoke about in a previous episode.
Yes.
Remember?
Yes, absolutely.
And I think whatever it was, if you use a new word, was it seven times or something, they say, psychologists, or then you'll transfer it from the conscious mind to the subconscious memory. That was
exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
So it's a similar kind of exercise.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, Alistair. It's been great to discuss this with you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure, as always.
And yeah, absolutely. And I'll see you again next week. Okay?
Okay.
All
Cheers.
Right.
Bye.
All right. See you then. Bye-bye. So there you go. I hope you enjoyed that episode of the Transforma tu Inglés Profesional podcast. If you have any feedback or just want to get in touch with us for any particular reason, you can do that through our email address, which is coach@danielsmith.es. And just send us a quick email and we'd love to hear from you. All your feedback is very, very welcome. And for now, thank you very much and I hope to see you again next week.